to marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about when love is not enough. Give us a call if you're in that situation right now and you are looking for some advice from Marcos. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go back to the phones. We have Jackie, who's been waiting so patiently on the line, calling in from New Jersey. Jackie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're
how are
doing
you?
Well, Jackie. Thank you so much for
good,
your call.
My question is, when there's no respect towards myself, and then I don't respect him, where he puts his child before me. He's actually told me that his child will always come before me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I deal with that? I mean, right now, every time we argue, God tells me to stand. I get on my knees, I pray, God tells me to stand. But it's getting harder and harder every day.
Sure, sure. Now, could you explain, when he puts his child before you, what does he typically do?
If we have plans and his child calls, he wants to come over, we have to cancel our plans.
Okay.
So his child can come over. He doesn't notify me when he's coming over. He just says, you know, he's my son, and you have to deal with it whenever he's here, because that's my blood, that's my flesh. I promised God I'd take care of him. I said, but that's lack of respect to me. But it doesn't sink in, no matter what I say. And as soon as we have a conversation about his child, it changes. He just gets aggressive, saying, you hate my son. I don't hate him. I just wish he would respect me enough to say, you know, before your ex-wife pulls up and say, can you have him? Say, it should be fine, but just let me check with my wife. You feel that you don't need to do that to me. You said, my child, he can come over whenever he wants.
Okay, I totally understand. So you're definitely, you know, we hear you. I think a couple of things, Jackie. Number one, you said that God is telling you to stand. And I agree. You know, if God tells you to do something, you do it. And I think even biblically, you know, Luke 21, there's a verse in verse 19 where it says, stand firm and you will win life. And, you know, the whole understanding behind following Jesus is that we're going to follow his steps, and it's standing firm under challenges, persecution, when things don't go our way. You know, the way of the world is like, listen, if things don't go your way, then just go, leave, forget it. But as a Christian, you're like, okay, God has something greater in store. Now, that doesn't mean you don't speak up or you don't talk about it. But I think, Jackie, it's not a reason to leave your marriage. It's painful and it's not right. But I think it's still not a reason. And the prayer needs to be like, I'm praying that my husband understands that there has to be a balance here. Because it's understandable that, you know, that is his blood. His child is important. But so are you. You're his wife. And so there has to be that balance. And it sounds like he doesn't have those boundaries. And look, we can go into all the reasons why. Maybe he has guilt. Maybe he feels, you know, a certain level of responsibility. But at the end of the day, you're his wife, and he needs to consider your needs as well. Have you ever tried just sitting and talking about this in a non-confrontational matter? What I mean by that is not while it's happening, but at another occasion, say, listen, let's talk about our relationship, our boundaries, your son. Have you tried that?
I've tried many, many times. But as soon as anything has to do with his child, aggressiveness and just comes up, we are not discussing this. This is how it is, so and so. And I'm like, you know, what about me? What about my feelings? I consider you. Why don't you consider me? And then it just, you know, he's like, when it comes to my child, this is it.
What about counseling? Have you been to counseling?
Oh, I've been by myself.
And he wouldn't go?
He won't go.
Okay. And does he understand how much this is hurting you? Do you believe he sees that?
No, because he. From what I can see, he sees, he just sees through a tunnel. And the only person in that tunnel is his child.
Okay.
That is it. That's the only thing that he sees. That's the only thing he cares about is okay. That boy.
Now, I'm going to have a question for you, Jackie. If we were to ask your husband, if you, Jackie, love his son, would he believe, would he say that he feels like you love his son?
No, he'll turn around and say, no, I don't. Because, He always says, I hate his child. I said, don't hate your child at all. I said, there's no discipline in the house with him. You don't discipline him. I raise mine with discipline and everything, but with him, it's different.
Well, so let me ask you this, Jackie. Is there a way, is there something perhaps you can do differently that will convince him that you do love this child, but that you also love him and you love the marriage? Because I think that he's very defensive and protective because
like
you said, because he believes that you hate him, that you don't love him. And, you know, already he feels like he's alone in this. But if he, if there's a way that you can convince him, no, I do love this child. And maybe you need to grow in your love for him. I believe you when you say you don't hate him, but I believe that maybe there's something else that needs to change in your heart where you truly love this child and he can see that. Because I think when someone sees, you know, when love is in the picture, I mean, you could tell someone anything, they'll believe you. They'll listen to you. But when they don't feel that way, they're going to be defensive and their defenses are up. And it sounds like that's what's going on here. It almost sounds like he feels like, if I don't look out for this boy, no one is.
Yeah, because he, even though, you know, we've been married here, but he's like, it's not your job to train or teach my child to do anything.
And that's true.
So,
and that's right.
So, and I'm like, so what do you want me to do? Just cook, clean, and do whatever, and that's it. I was like, so I can't tell him to do anything. I can't ask him.
How old is this child?
Tell him. I can't ask him to do anything.
How old is the child?
13.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Try this for a while, like at least a month, I would say. Try, you know, not to try to discipline him or correct him, but really try to befriend this child. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, winning over the lost in a way. You know, this is a teenager. Teenagers lose their heads anyway during that stage. Really trying to win them and not try to be a mother, but to try to be a friend. Take him out, do something with him. But really try to win him over and with the hope.
I'm sorry, we don't, me and the child don't have a problem.
Okay.
I'll go out shoot ball with him. We've gone bike riding together. And I do stuff with him. But it's like, okay, for an example for this morning, his father was like, so what's for dinner? I'm like, oh, we can have, you know, we bought curry yesterday. He was like, my son don't eat curry.
Mm.
And I'm like, but I didn't know he was staying.
It sounds like the bigger issue is a communication issue.
Yes. And he doesn't feel that he needs to communicate with me when he's coming over. My understanding was when we got married, it was Tuesdays, Thursdays, and every other weekend we would have him. We've had him for the last 3 weekends. I said, normally, if we have him on a weekend when his mother don't have him, he'll stay over Friday night.
I understand.
She'll come and pick him up the next day. So I just assumed that we had him for the last 2 weekends. She would come and pick him up.
Absolutely.
She's like, no,
absolutely.
This is our weekend. I was like, well, I don't know that. You need to tell me. I don't need to tell you nothing.
I got you. I got you.
Deal with it.
He's just being very difficult. He's blowing it with the communication, and you're hurt and you're upset because you're like, listen, I can't read your mind. And you can't have these expectations. See, I think what I said earlier, Jackie, it's really a matter of having some kind of counseling because it's a two-way street, but the communication is so bad that it's making the everything worse.
Yeah.
So the issue in itself might not be so bad. I don't even think you will have a problem with the son staying there, but to not know and week after week and then have all these expectations and they're just not communicating is frustrating for you. Yeah, I think you're right. And I do think that, I mean, my prayer for you would be that he would be open to having counseling as well. And just saying, listen, this is not that hard. You got to start communicating. He's probably so used to doing things a certain way. He's already defensive. And it's like, listen, just he's like, forget it. Just hear me. If you don't want to cook, I'll just take my son and we'll go out to eat. Don't worry about it. But it's separating you. And it sounds like the tool that the devil's using is the lack of communication.
Yeah. Wow. I have to agree with you on that, yes.
You know, so you what it sounds like, not this weekend while the child is there, but once he's away, you need to try to convince your husband, have a good conversation about getting some outside help, some counseling. A third party that he'll feel great about too, but that's going to be able to be honest with you and say, listen, this is the problem. Because he needs to hear it, not just from you. If he hears it from you, he's not going to take it well. But if he hears it from someone else, prayerfully, he'll be open and more receptive.
Okay.
Jackie, thank you so much. We really do appreciate
you
listening and calling.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank
Just
you.
Give us a call back in a few weeks. Let us know how things are going, please.
Okay, then. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, have a blessed day.
Take care. So today we are talking about when love is not enough. We encourage you to give us a call if you have a question for Marcos on how to deal with that. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Stay right there. Marriage Beyond the Vows will return after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of the show. We would love for you to call us and ask your question. If you're in the middle of a situation where you're saying love is not enough, give us a call. 855-454-5905.
Absolutely. And right now we're going to revisit Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/beyondthevows. And also you can go to praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado, Marriage Beyond the Vows. You can listen to archive shows. You can send me a message and get all that good stuff. So right now on facebook.com, we've asked a question to that the fact that we're having an open forum. You can ask any question you want. We have Faith-Driven James says, Betty, shaking my head, I'm praying for you. And then also King Thomas said, for the young woman in the violent relationship, please call this hotline, 800-799-SAFE, and connect with others for supports. Prayer sent your way. And we thank you, both of you, for really, you know, caring enough to look out for her. You know, it does break our hearts when someone is in an abusive relationship and they're wondering whether they should go or stay, or what do they do? I think number one, safety first. I mean, especially if you have children, you want to get out of that situation as soon as possible. And if that is not yet your spouse, even a greater understanding of why you need to get out of there. It is not even God's will for you to be there in the first place. But even if you're married and you're finding yourself in an abusive relationship, there are many resources out there that would help you. First of all, hopefully you have family, friends, church members. But at the end of the day, you got to get out of that situation. You definitely do. We are having a great discussion here about love not being enough. Is love enough or not in your relationship? Some people think, hey, all we need is love. Mm-hmm. We can live on love. Mm-hmm. That's it. And what about paying the mortgage and, you know, keeping the lights on and having food and all that? Is that enough? And also, you know, that feeling of being in love, is that enough to help you withstand the tough times, the challenges, the disappointments, the struggles that you will face in your relationship? We're going to go ahead and go right back to our callers who are waiting on the queue.
And again, you can reach us at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Mary, calling in from Pennsylvania. Mary, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Yes, I had a response, maybe a suggestion for Jackie, the one with the stepson.
Yes, yes, the one, the teenage stepson.
Yes, maybe if she invited him over, other than when the mother called to say, tell the father she needs him to come over.
Okay.
If Jackie would invite him over. And with the dinner situation, maybe have a rotation of requests and include the stepson as per his request and just kind of ignore the father saying, my son doesn't eat this or like that, and ask the son.
Okay, I mean, that's a good suggestion. I think, you know, we had some similar suggestions going on, and then it sounds like Jackie's struggle, however, was the lack of communication with her husband. Like, the fact that she didn't even know if he was going to be there or not, or, if, you know, whatever. There was just no communication or very little communication there. But I think those are good suggestions, right, to kind of be proactive, also have communicate with the child as well.
Yes, and I mean, with the husband, just say her piece, and if he doesn't want to listen, just repeat her piece over and over.
Yes.
He'll eventually listen, and it'll sink in, and he'll listen. He may not respond, but just let him know, I love your son. I don't mind him coming over. Just respect my feelings and let me know when he's coming.
Good, good stuff. Well, Mary, we thank you so much for your call.
Okay, you're welcome.
Have a blessed day.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
All right, now let's go to Andrea calling in on line 2 from New Jersey. Andrea, good morning. You're live on the air. Oh, Andrea,
we lost you. All right. Well, Andrea, if you can call back and everyone else, we'll love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. So just reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, we get like a small window of what people are going through. And of course, we want to give encouragement and advice. And that's what we're here, right? So if you have a question, comment, an issue you're trying to resolve, or you really want to offer some encouragement, perhaps you've been through something similar and you've been able to overcome and you've been able to see God see you through and you want to encourage others. Like, listen, there is a light at the end of this. Don't worry and just share that. We would love to hear that from you as well.
All right. And again, the number is 855-454-5905.
And as we said earlier, you know, Facebook, it's a great opportunity. Tiffany always says this is our second favorite book. Mm-hmm. We would definitely not say it's our favorite, our first, because that is obviously the good book, the Word of God. But in terms of social media, that this is our social media of choice. I mean, you can find us on Twitter as well. We love to stay connected that way. But really, Facebook is what we use to have you ask questions, to post events and comments and, you know, topics and all that good stuff. I mean, we literally have thousands of you who like us on Facebook. And we encourage you, if you've not done this already, please visit our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/beyondthevows and hit the like button. Ask a question or a comment. You know, you can hit us up with a private message or something public if you like for everyone else to be able to chime in as well. So in just a moment, we're getting ready for another call here. Tiffany, so let me ask you a question. From a singles perspective, right, a lot of times you hear, you know, you got to be in love before you know this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. What I guess, goes through your mind or your heart as you hear what we're talking about today, where it's not just about love. Love is just not enough. What goes through, what's gone through your mind as you've heard some of the calls today?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been pretty sobering. I've been pretty clear that it's not just going to be about love. There has to be other things, you know, in place, because, again, you know, once the honeymoon phase is over, then those other things kind of settle in and you have to say, oh, wow, can I really live with that? Can I deal with that? Is that a deal breaker? So it's important for me to be clear about what my deal breakers are. Where are my boundaries? And then, you know, kind of push forward from there, because if you see those red flags early on, then you kind of, it's your responsibility to not make excuses because you feel that love thing. But if you have all those red flags waving in your face, like, girlfriend, don't do it.
Well, you know what I've noticed is when you're in love, and sometimes, I have to say this, sometimes people become enamored or they're in love with just being married. So it's not even so much with the person. They're in love with love. They're in love with wanting to be married. And so they overlook a lot of, like what you mentioned, those red flags. So let's say, for example, you know yourself and you know you need encouragement. You know you need affection. You know you need, you know, some kind of support. And you're in a relationship with someone that they're not very expressive. They don't share that. They don't show that too much. And you're like, oh, but that's fine. They love me. I love them. I can live with it. But, and let me tell you, from where I sit, there are many who've made those decisions and then they're miserable. Yeah. And they're trying to change their spouses to be something because they really want this. They crave it. They're like, I need to feel loved. I need my husband to be affectionate. I need my wife to initiate love and all these things. And yet that's not who they were before.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a shock.
Right.
You know, I think it's a little different if they were one way and then they changed.
And they changed.
But in most cases, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but in most cases, people kind of show you who they are.
And sometimes if you, you know, especially if you want to be the person to be benevolent and you want to be forgiving, if you have that in your heart and spirit and you know that you would like that in return, sometimes you think that you can forgive people for things and that would help them change. and you might see it, but you're like, you know what, I can work with you because if you're around me and I have all this positive energy, it'll rub off on you. You know, sometimes we fall into that trap. I have in the past, and it doesn't work.
Wow. All right. Well, we got a really interesting call from South Carolina, Anita, who actually has a question about how many times should you forgive infidelity? That's a great question. Let's go to Anita.
Anita is calling in online too. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Anita, ask your question, please, so everyone can hear it.
Yes. Hi. My question is, if you've been married for over 20 years,
okay,
throughout the marriage, there's always been infidelity issues on the husband's side. How often should you forgive, and where's the line where you either are stupid or you're just trusting God?
I got you. All right. Well, you know, this is really an individual answer. I know there's some people who would not, from the first time, the first offense, they're like, okay, I can't forgive. Mm-hmm. Others who seem like they're just constantly living in this, you know, relationship with their spouse being unfaithful. There's a passage I'll share that I believe would really help. Luke 17. Jesus is preaching. He's talking about some things that make people stumble. And so in verse 3 of Luke 17, he says, so watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. If they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back and say, I repent, you must forgive them. You know, we got to really understand this. I think sometimes we look at scriptures like this and we're quick to say, okay, look, you always got to forgive. You always got to forgive. But right before it says that they come to you, it says that if they repent, you rebuke them. If they repent, you forgive them. Repentance, it's more than just saying you're sorry.
Right.
Repentance is change. And if someone's not really repented, if they've not really changed, even God himself won't forgive us our sins if we don't repent. So I think that the real question to ask is, has the person repented? If they say, listen, there are a few signs. If they are caught, it's a lot harder to prove that they're repentant. That's first. But that's even true. In those cases, if a person is caught, let's say in this case, it's your husband, Anita, and you confront him on the infidelity and he gets defensive, and then you say, listen, I want to rebuild our trust. I want to stay in our marriage. So you're going to have to give an account to where you are after work, no more coming home late at night. I can't trust you. And if his attitude is like, well, why don't you trust me? How could we have a relationship? You're making it seem like you don't forgive me. It's like, listen, I'm saying I forgive you and I'm trying to work with you, but you need to help me to rebuild this trust. You've showed me you're not trustworthy. And so if that person is not willing to do whatever it takes to rebuild that, that's not repentance.
Okay.
You know, and if that person is not really willing to come clean, you know, oh, it just happened once. It happens to be you caught them and that's the only time it happened. It's like, come on, we weren't born yesterday. We know you've done this before. Like, get open, get clean.
Right.
And then we can work with that. Even God would do that, right? God doesn't hold our sin against us. But if we're going to God, or in this case, going to our spouses and say, okay, well, I want you to forgive me. I repent, but I'm still holding on to the sin. I'm still holding on to deception and a double life. Then that's not repentance. And you shouldn't stay with that person.
Right.
Does that help?
It does, because, you know, it had actually occurred, and then I had forgiven. And then it actually, I caught him again after he said he was sorry. So then I started wondering, am I being taken advantage of, or is this God?
Now, is he, when he's apologizing, is it you saying you caught him, and then you caught him again?
After.
With the same person? Same person?
Same husband.
Was he with the same woman?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so he hasn't let go of that relationship?
I don't know.
You don't believe so? I mean, you have reasons to believe.
Well, yeah, I'm suspicious, but that's because I don't trust.
Yeah. Yeah, but is he helping to rebuild that trust? Has he shown you a broken, repented heart?
Sometimes, and then sometimes he gets aggravated where I'm like, where are you, you know?
Yeah, see, I think if he understood, like, I understand it could be aggravating, but he's trying to rebuild the trust.
So that's what I say. Mm-hmm.
So his heart should be so humble right now.
That's
it should
I
be
say.
Like, listen, I'm sorry. Like, is this
whatever you want? Right?
Yeah, whatever you need to get an understanding. You know, if he was smart or wise, he would know that, you know, in time he can rebuild that. But right now, he's shown that he can't be trusted, and you're trying to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're asking. So it's yeah. If you didn't care, you wouldn't ask.
I wouldn't even ask him.
But it's like he's. I think he's really, truly blowing it in this area, Anita. I hope he hears what we're saying. Or you could even tell him, listen, you called. You're trying to get some help for him. He needs to. I would love for him to call me. I would love to talk to him because he's blowing it. On top of how much he's messed up already, he's blowing it even more. And it sounds like you're a good woman who loves him, loves God, and is trying to get her heart in the right place.
Right. Thank you.
Amen, Anita. Well, thank you. We really appreciate you listening and calling us today.
Thank you for your help.
All right. God bless.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jessica calling in from Philadelphia. Jessica, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good. We're doing great. You? So you have an interesting question for us because our question today we posted out there is love enough, right? What happens when love is not enough?
You know, I'm active duty Air Force, and I've been in 13 years.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you for the support, and that goes out to everyone. And I'm the breadwinner in my family, and my husband's civilian.
Mm-hmm.
So when he proposed to me, you know, he was like, I love you, this, that, and the third. And I said, well, you know, I'm military. I didn't even say yes. I said, you know, I'm military. Mm-hmm. And we were going to move. We're going to be in situations that we just, other couples may not be able to relate to, where you're going to have to give up. It's kind of, in some situations, you may feel demasculated, but you're going to be my support, and I'm going to be your support, but it's going to be role reversal in a sense and unexpected. So we were stationed after we left our first base. We went to Germany, and I didn't realize he was in a depressed state because he wasn't able to find a job that would stimulate him and keep him focused and really contribute to his future and career. And I didn't even realize that, you know, he would say things and it would be small and I wasn't really listening.
Okay.
And then as the years go on, then we moved to South Dakota and now he's in a career where it's going to help him in the future. It's not just, I'm going to go work at Target or something.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Like
he's
that,
a career.
You know? Yeah. So being military, love really is not enough. Especially if you're a woman and you're the breadwinner and your husband is civilian, you have to really look out for your husband. You have to be a constant state of support. You have to give more. Now, I'm not saying that other marriages or relationships are different, but I can't relate to those. But I do know that you really have to give more. If your man calls you and he's like, he needs to talk to you, you need to stimulate him intellectually. You need to stimulate him physically and emotionally.
Sure.
And, you know, and in support to encourage him. You know, we already give a lot as it is. Our families have to make a huge sacrifice.
Absolutely.
But the foundation of that family is the husband and the wife. And it is just a lot of work. And it is so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And so comforting to know that there is someone there for you, and at the same time you need to give that same effort and understand that they're going through some things and you have to be a really good listener. And if there are women or men out there where you see your spouse is not communicating with you, or you see your spouse are just, that's a sign.
Absolutely.
That's a sign. If they're not communicating with you, it's not a long conversation, it's not intellectual, they're out there and something else has sparked their interest.
Something is going on.
Really. Yes, something has sparked their interest, whether it's going to the gym all the time, whether it's another human, whether it's another book. Like, your relationship is wearing thin a little bit, and there you need to really take note of that. So,
and what I'm hearing from you is, you know, in response to, you know, is love enough? It's like, well, it takes a lot more than just this emotional love. It's a commitment.
Yes.
It's trying to figure out, okay, how do we fix this situation? And if you truly love someone, you just won't, you won't be okay until that gets resolved.
You will not, and it is not a overnight thing. It takes years, and you know, this year it's been a lot of learning how to reverence my husband and him reverence me. He already had me
there,
but I did not reciprocate that enough. You know, I'll say, okay, I'll go cook you a meal, and, you know, I'll go do this and that and the third.
You know what I think, Jessica? I think that's a huge victory. I want to commend you for that. But also, you know, there are a lot more professional working women. And sometimes it's easy to say, okay, well, I'm going to neglect my marriage or neglect my spouse because I have other responsibilities. And you remember that the Bible says forsaking all others. You know, you got to make sure he is a priority. And I think that's in doing that, you're able to help your marriage to succeed. I want to say congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you
for doing that. Jessica, we really do appreciate you calling in today.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let's, yes. Okay. Let's go to Michael calling in from South Carolina as well. Michael, good morning. You're live on the air. Hello, Michael.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, right. Michael. Michael. So your wife just called a little while ago. That's correct.
Exactly.
Anita, we really do appreciate you calling in. I want to say thank you for your call. And one other, I just want to start really quickly with this is the Bible says in Proverbs 18, it says the first to speak seems right until someone else comes forward and cross examines. So I really do appreciate you calling in and sharing your version, your side of the story, because there's always two sides, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So please, so tell us. So your wife, Anita, was the one that called and said that she feels that your son is first at a lot of times, that in the relationship, when it comes to your child, who's a teenager, you know, he's a priority. He's first, and she feels neglected.
No. You got the wrong guy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So please help me out here.
Wrong, Anita.
Okay.
She called from South Carolina as infidelity on my part.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yes. You were the one that she just felt like, can she keep forgiving you if she doesn't trust you?
Yes.
Have to rebuild the trust. Okay. Oh, thank you. I apologize for that mistake.
That's all right.
All right. So she says she found out that you were unfaithful, forgave you, and then found out again, caught you again. And then now she just doesn't know how she can trust you. And then you get very defensive at times when she tries to ask you, where are you? And, you know, it gets frustrating. You know, please tell us your version.
Okay. That is true. I do get defensive, but it's not defensive because I'm trying to hide something. It's just to the point that I know that I have changed. I know that my wife is a good woman. I thank God for grace and mercy to the fact that she has allowed me back in her life. We were divorced. We remarried. And it's just been stupid things that I've done, and that's the only thing I can say. But the part is that I do have a repentant spirit. And the part is that I guess I know in my heart how I feel and that I love her and that I'm not going to do and that I'm not doing anything else again. But it's just that I guess I think it should be, you know, the fact is if she says she's forgiven me, but she never forgets.
I got you. You know she'll never forget, right? You know that, Michael. She'll never forget. Like, you can't forget.
Exactly.
But I think what you're saying is you feel like it's held against you. Like, it's this huge cloud over your head and you can't get out of it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and times when, I mean, it's like it's always going back. Okay? Okay. Now, she said, she's sitting here with me. She says this 2 weeks ago, which is true. Again,
2 weeks ago, what?
That she caught me. That she caught me. Again.
Okay, so this has been 2 weeks, all right? That's very fresh. That just happened.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, Michael, and please be honest with me here.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What's lacking with your wife, Anita? What's lacking in your marriage that you have felt the need to step out on the marriage? I mean, if you could be perfectly honest with the reason,
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't know. I just think it's like an ego thing with me, and that's the only thing I can say. It's just, and I'm too old for this now, and like I said, I thank God for His mercy and His grace that she's got a forgiving spirit, to allow me back in it. And I know that it's not right what I'm doing, but it's just like, you know, when you want to do right and you really try to do right, but the evil is always present there with me. That's where I'm at. I really, truly believe that's where I'm at.
Okay.
And the only thing I can count it for is like an ego thing. But I'm be truly honest to you and that my wife doesn't never, ever, ever have to worry about that again. I'm really to the point where I need to get is just be more patient with her. I understand that. When she questions me, don't be so quick to get upset about when she asks me questions because, like you said, it's fresh in her mind.
Yeah.
So I know it's going to take time for her to really trust me again, and that's what I'm really trying to do. I'm really trying to build up a trust.
And you know what it is, Michael? Let me be perfectly honest with you. That you sound good, but your actions, the fact that you were caught once, and I'm sure you said a lot of the same things, that you're sorry, you're not doing it again, and it's too fresh. Like right now, all you should be doing is truly apologizing and giving it time and saying, listen, honey, please give me the opportunity to show you that I'm trustworthy because I'm sorry. And also, a big part of that, I think you're saying maybe your ego, maybe not. I think if you can give really, you might not even know, but really praying to get to that root, like what is it? Because sexual sin is something that you just don't fall into. You know, it's not like you're walking down the street and there's a big hole in the ground and you just fall in. It's very deliberate. You have to plan it. You have to, the woman you were with has to call you. You call her. You have a text.
Right.
You decide where you're going to meet. You plan it. So it's very deliberate. And so there are ample opportunities you've had and you continually have to be open and honest. And here's the truth. If you have people in your life, not just your wife, but good brothers in your life that could hold you accountable, can say, listen, man, I just feel I don't want to do something stupid. But, man, this woman keeps calling, or there's this woman at the job, or there's this ex-girlfriend, or there's this email that I keep getting. I mean, there are a lot of safeguards that you can have if you truly never want to go back there.
Okay. Now, when it comes to those avenues, they've all been cut off. Okay. And a matter of fact, the other day I received a call from her, from the young lady. Okay. I did not answer it. And what I did, as soon as I received it, I text my wife and I said, honey, I just got a call from her. Yes, I did. I said, I just got a call from her, but I did not answer it. I have no need to text it back. I'm totally being honest with her. I took myself off of Facebook. I don't want any contacts through Facebook. Phone number has been deleted. All avenues of me trying to reach this woman has been dissolved. I have no desire to reopen them in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Well, Michael, let me ask you this. So does your wife have access to your telephone,
yes,
your cell phone, anytime?
Yes, right. She does.
And if you don't mind, may I ask, she's there with you, right? May I ask her, may I speak to her and ask her a question?
Yeah, hold on.
Hello.
Yes. Thank you, Anita. Let me ask you this. If Michael is saying, okay, he did this and he even mentioned the phone call to you, what else is he lacking that's not helping you to rebuild this trust? If he's like really adamant that this will never happen again, what's missing that it's not giving you that reassurance?
I would say the defensiveness when I ask him a question, being that it's been repetitive relationships, and two would be the lack of affection in our marriage.
Okay. Okay. So there are two things. And I think if you could put Michael back on, I just wanted to ask you this. Mm-hmm. All right, Michael. So there are two main things that your wife is saying that's causing her to have a really difficult time trusting you again.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to hear what those were. What do you think? I mean, number one, you're being defensive. Number two, she doesn't feel like this is affection for her that you're giving.
What do I think of?
Of both, of her response to what's making it so tough to move on.
Oh, you mean the what did you say, babe? The defensiveness. The defensiveness is something that I'm working on. It's something that I'm really trying to work on as far as, and what I say now is when you ask me, I say, okay, babe, I come out and try to be as honest and true It's just like even this morning, there was a phone call that came through on my phone, and the person called back three times.
Mm.
When the call came back three times, and I told my wife, I said, "Babe, I don't know who that is." She said, "Where's it at?" Baltimore, Maryland. Happened to be the same area where the woman is at.
Okay.
Okay. So defensively, right then and there, she got on the defensive. I said, "Babe, I don't know who that is." I said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to call the person back." I said, "I don't want to call the person back. I want you to call the person back." We went downstairs. We got her phone. She called the person back. It happened to be a promotion. Okay. Now this is where I get where I say that I'm being totally upfront. I'm being totally honest. I don't know who that person is, but still, she's on the defensive with me, and it comes out on the defensive towards me. Where
okay.
I'm just being totally honest that I don't know who this person is, and I'm trying to do everything, like I said, to build the trust. Okay. Now, as far as the affectionate aspect of it is, that is something that has nothing to do with her. It has to do with me physically.
Okay.
I'll just put it that way.
Okay. All right. Well. Let me. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you really quickly.
Yep.
I know we've taken a little bit of time here, and we have one more caller we want to get to here. But
I appreciate
two scriptures real quick. I think one of them is Psalm 84. Verse 10, I'm going to read it to you really quickly. It says, "Better one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I will rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." The psalmist, the heart about it is, listen, I don't deserve anything. If I'm just a doorkeeper, better than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I think the opportunity that your wife has given you her forgiveness, it's like you deserve nothing. You're just grateful to be in that house, to be able to be in the same bed with her, like really, you know, honoring her that way because you don't deserve, like taking that humble posture. And then secondly, Psalm 51 talks about when David committed adultery and that brokenness that he had. And I'll be honest with you, Michael, I've been doing this for a while. I hear you, and I'm not saying that you're not even trying to get there, but I think that You're not totally broken about your sin. That there's a certain level of humility that's lacking, and you can't fake that. You can't be like, "Oh, well, maybe if I cry more or if I apologize more." No, it's a heart thing. It's something that I think. I'm not saying you're deliberately not trying to get there. I believe you that part. I mean, you wouldn't be on the phone, right, if you're not trying to work on your marriage. But I think that there's a part in your heart that, you know, gets really calloused when you deliberately sin, that you're going to have to, my encouragement to you, my brother, is to pray and fast and really have that broken and contrite heart that God seeks. And I think then and only then would you be able to win that trust back with your wife, because she'll see, wait a minute, this is bigger than our marriage. This is Michael's relationship with the Lord.
Exactly.
And so I want to encourage you to really do that. Spend some time praying and fasting. Getting, you know, to that place.
Yes, sir.
And then you'll know. You probably won't even realize when it changes, but at some point, your wife will be the one to tell you, "Wow, you're such a different man. I love you, and I can respect you, and I can follow you."
Amen.
But thank you both, Anita, Michael. We really do appreciate you guys calling in from South Carolina. You have a blessed day. Please call us in a little bit. You know, give it a few months and call us back and update us.
I'm originally from Philadelphia, and I got the 103.9 app, and we listen every Saturday to you guys.
Awesome.
I was the one who started listening, and then I told my wife about it.
Well, thank you.
We're so in love with you guys.
Thank you. Okay? We, Michael, Anita, we love you guys. Thank you. Please, you know, keep us posted.
We certainly will. Bye-bye.
All right.
Take care. And our final caller of the day is Reverend Mac on line 4. Reverend Mac, good morning.
The one and only Reverend Mac.
Good morning. That talking about that love thing, Mac. You know, love, look, that agape love, that's a strong love that covers everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got that agape love, you got everything going on, you know what I'm saying? And this is love enough. Look, when you got that copy of love, what else do you need to go along with them? Then, number one, understanding, patience, trust, and commitment. That covers a lot of things. And I realize a lot of people do not have trust in their relationship. If you trust, Now, I've been trusting my wife 19 years, and I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Amen.
And
that's a good thing.
When you trust a person, you believe in that person, Marcus. Look, a lot of folk, they get married for all types of reasons, and they're looking at the sexual part, but it's more to it than just in the bed. Mm-hmm. After you get out the bed, you got to live. You got to go in and work and take care of that beautiful wife you got.
Absolutely.
But
well, Reverend
Mack,
it's always...
Man, you know, in this honeymoon thing, it's not over. A lot of folks talk about it's over a year. If it's not over for me, why should it be over for them?
There you go. You're still on your honeymoon, right?
And I'm still on my honeymoon, and I'm still in love with baby doll.
There you go. And I'm sure you're going to take her out on some fabulous date tonight.
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you. Well, Reverend Mack, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us a call and encouraging us. Please
Amen.
Give
and
our love to your wife.
To keep doing what you're doing, brother, because y'all are bringing a lot of relationships together with understanding. See, I feel like this, Martha. Understanding is the best thing in the world, brother. If you ain't got understanding, what do you got?
You got misunderstanding. That's what you
misunderstanding. That's what you got. I like the way you word that because that's right on time, brother.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Reverend Mack. Give your love to your wife for us.
Yes, I will. God bless you both now.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And believe it or not, that is it. That's all we have for you this week. But we hope you will check us out next Saturday starting at 8 a.m. Much love going out to our producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.